Gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Oh, got a little bit of the giggles here going. Folks, if you could just see what just happened here in the studio. Hi, folks. Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman in studio and with fellow investigator, researcher, most importantly, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in Northwest Pennsylvania. You know what I didn't do? I didn't put up the on the website the show for tonight. So that's me, and I apologize. I will get to that momentarily. But anyway, folks, it's great to be with you. We dig deep into topics that the corporate mass media, Illuminati-controlled mass media, won't, don't, will never do, and we're glad to be with you doing so. I just want to say welcome to everyone. Welcome to Matt, if you're listening, Matt P., in your patrol car. God bless you. Thank you so much. Stay safe out there. Thanks for being part of our program. And we wish you a safe evening, a safe night, as you do your work. Ladies and gentlemen, portions of tonight's broadcast proudly brought to you by Pro Flowers. Oh, hey, guess what, folks? Guys, hey, look, the game online, you wouldn't want to put your rookie on the field, would you? No, of course not. You'd go to your playmaker to really verify, to get the win, so to speak. Why would Valentine's Day be any different for you? Well, the pros at Pro Flowers have everything you need to win this Valentine's Day. Guys, you know, Pro Flowers has really saved me a lot. I mean, they've saved my butt a few times with flowers. Proflowers.com. Folks, again, proud to be sponsored by Pro Flowers. Go to HagmanandHagman.com. Click on the link. It's on the bottom of the page in the bottom footer there. Click on the link to Pro Flowers. It'll take you right to our little section there at Pro Flowers. And what you need to do, of course, you need to put our code in there, our special code in the microphone box, which in this case is Hagman. That's proflowers.com. Microphone code Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. If you're watching live on YouTube, there it is. You can see it. It's beautiful. Beautiful thing. Proflowers. It's our choice for Valentine's Day. That's proflowers.com. Microphone code Hagman. Oh, and by the way, how'd you sleep last night? Yeah, you know, we had a meeting this morning and I got to tell you, Joe,
I didn't fall asleep till like 6 in the morning.
Yeah, so, what was up with that?
Well, I was doing research and reading and stuff I do on a normal night. Usually I'm asleep by 4.
Okay.
But we started this new initiative.
Yes, we did.
We touch base early in the morning doing FaceTime on Skype and
You looked
like
a little
7
rough.
Alarms because I knew it was going to be rough, and I woke up to my wife screaming at me, Joe, you need to talk to your dad. What about the phone call?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. When you sleep in comfort on a Casper mattress, it makes all the difference. So, you know, your sleeping habits aside, I want to direct you folks to Casper.com. That's the home base of Casper Mattress. And let me tell you something. Casper Mattresses have revolutionized the way I've been sleeping and my family. CasperMattress.com. Now, there, okay, our super special code there is CFP Radio. That's our promo code, okay? CFP Radio. Now, we have linked it up on off of our website. So if you go to Casper.com, just insert CFP radio after. Well, you insert that in the URL as well as the promo code when it asks you for a promo code. It's CFP radio. But I'm going to tell you something more on this later. But Casper mattresses will revolutionize the way you sleep. You'll get a great night's sleep. It makes for a wonderful day. Well, today we've got a great program lined up, folks. Joe came to me. We have so much news and so much to get into. The politics. It looks like politics is really kind of dominating the headlines, dominating the discussion. Whether it's at the kitchen table, at the coffee shop, or whether it's on the radio, politics is dominating. It seems to be dominating the talk show landscape. Now, we're going to get into some of that, but not in the way you think. No. This is going to be a little bit different. How we're going to frame this today is offering you the bird's eye view, the cruising altitude view, and tell you why. We'll tell you why things are the way they are. And you already know you're being gamed. You're being messed with. Nothing is really as it appears to be. You know that. But there is a biblical foundation for what we're seeing today. You see, look in the Bible and you can see why things are the way they are. You can understand why. So with a little biblical, when you look at current events through the prism of biblical scripture and prophecy, you can see just how late the hour is. And why the political landscape is the way it is. And we're going to follow that up after Joe addresses this. We're going to follow that up with some other issues that are not making the news because of the political topics. And compliments of the Tavistock Institute, compliments of the CFR, compliments of the Trilateral Commission, compliments of the shadow government, the shadow banking system, the powers in the shadows. We're going to be talking about that too. So we've got a jam-packed show for you. All topical, all relevant, all things that you need to know and you need to hear about. And we're going to get to it right away. So Joe, go ahead, and we were talking about, just to set this up, we were talking about the political landscape, how there are no, as Steve Quayle says, there are no political solutions to our spiritual problems. Greg Jackson had written so eloquently an email, which I read yesterday for yesterday's program, that stated that, people in Iowa, they had a chance. Everyone's saying, well, we need, we can't fix there are no political solutions to spiritual problems. When they had, the people in Iowa had the chance to bring forth a true Christian, not just somebody who proclaims to be Christian through words, but somebody who would promise to be a Christian through deeds. Well, that person only got 2%. I'm speaking about Mike Huckabee. And this is not, believe me, this is not an endorsement of any political candidate, but this is just merely to say, Mr. Huckabee had said, look, we are going to close down, I'm going to close down the abortion mills, the charnel houses, using the 5th and 14th Amendments, and just shut down these killing machines that are killing 4,000 young souls every day, or unborn souls every day, and go back to the Constitution, but through the Christian, reality. And of course, that only got 2% of the vote. People would much rather select someone that is more chic or whatever, but more in demand, as opposed to the spiritual approach to this from a spiritual perspective. So Joe, with that foundation, I'm going to turn this over to you as you had requested, and then as this unfolds, we're going to get into this from a larger perspective. Oh, before I turn this over to you, one more piece of housekeeping. If you have the opportunity, drop Caravan to Midnight a line. Going to be on Caravan to Midnight, was on Caravan to Midnight today. I'm not sure when it airs. I have to double check. But John B. Wells was on with him for, my goodness, an hour, but we talked, I think, for nearly 2 hours. just about a number of things.
As it usually goes.
Yeah, but wish them a happy second birthday. They're going to be going into their third full year now as J.B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight. And we had a great talk about current events and about things and off-air and on-air. So drop J.B. Wells a line and his son and wish him a happy anniversary, happy birthday, and tell him you heard it on the Hagman & Hagman Report. So anyway, go ahead. I'm going to turn it over to you and lay the groundwork.
Yeah, we're going to set the tone for the show tonight. And we're going to do so by using my favorite parable in the Bible, which is in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. And the parable, there's two parables in Matthew 13, actually three. And this lays the groundwork for, you know, the title of the show, No Political Solution, Solutions to Spiritual Problems. And the reason I like this parable, and I could spend the whole 3 hours talking about it, but it can be done in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and it sums up the battle that we are fighting currently, have been fighting, and continue to fight. And not only that, it is one of the rare occasions where Jesus gave the parable and then explained the parable in great detail. And we'll just start here, and I'm going to skip around in Matthew 13 till I get to the actual parable. But in Matthew 13, in verse 10, it says, "The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why do you speak to these people in parables? And Jesus answered them and said, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance, but to whosoever shall have not, from him shall it be taken away. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they that are seeing see not, and they that are hearing hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are you and your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, but have not heard them." Speaking, of course, in the times of the end, when prophecy is coming to a crescendo. But the spiritual warfare aspect of the battle we face in this earth is given in Matthew 13, starting verse 24. "And another parable put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed into the field. While the man slept, his enemy came, and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade sprung up, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in the field? Where hath the tares come from? And he said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servants saying unto him, What will ye do? Will we gather them up? He said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn, and gather the wheat into my barn. And the explanation is given, which we will get into in a second. But from this parable, we can see that this is a parable of the sower. A man planted a field of a certain crop. And while he was away or sleeping, an enemy, as the scripture states, came in and polluted the seed. Kind of like a organic farmer who has a tomato farm. And Monsanto were to come in and implant genetically modified tomatoes in with the organic tomatoes. You know, just an example. So you have a the farm, the organic farmer, and then you have the enemy, Monsanto, coming in and polluting the seeds and the fruit that the seeds yield. So Jesus answers them and tells them the answer to the parable. And it goes as follows. He answered them and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, when we talk about the big picture, looking at the spiritual battle summed up in such an elegant and wonderful way, easy to understand, from this, you know, there has been, as always with doctrine, a misinterpretations. And Dad, you pointed out to me one of the counter arguments or ways pastors try to use this, and from the commentary you gave me, one of the misinterpretations is that sermons and commentators attempt to use the story and illustration for explaining the conditions of the church, noting that there are both true believers, the wheat, and false professors, the tares, in both the church and at large. Which is a way to try to understand it, but it does not encompass what Jesus said.
Well, is that the correct understanding?
No, Jesus gave us the correct understanding.
Okay.
Okay, so Jesus is the farmer. He created man. The field is the world,
right,
where men live. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, which God had created. The tares are the children of the wicked one, or the devil. And this is very plain, in plain English, in the Bible, Matthew 13:38. The enemy that sowed the tares is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And so here, in just these four verses, we see the history of the creation of man, what God had ordained man and given him dominion over, taken away due to the fallen angels corrupting the seed, and creating a different seed line. As we know in the Bible, there are two seed lines.
Right. And now, the two seed lines, Ishmael, right? Or, well,
no.
Okay. That's getting ahead of myself. Two seed lines meaning what?
We have the seed line of the woman and of God and man, and we have the seed line of Cain.
Right, the Cain lineage versus...
1 John chapter 3.
There you go.
Says this.
Go ahead.
3:10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither loveth for his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore he slew him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life. So in John, 1 John 3.
And folks, this is kind of critical. I didn't mean to interrupt,
no, go ahead.
But when Joe said, look, we need to really cover this initially, I was really confused, because I thought, well, how is this relevant to what's going on today? And in particular, how is this relevant to the political landscape and each one of us? Well, listen on, because we're going to tie all this together, because this is important. This is not characteristically just for the church, but this is a parable, a larger parable, and Jesus spoke in parables because, well, our comprehension. We are asking the wrong questions, and we're asking the wrong questions. The apostles were, and people were in the days of Jesus. So how do you answer an incorrect question? Well, you counter it with another question that would prompt you to rethink the first question. You see where I'm going with this? So that's why this is important. So go ahead and continue with this. And again, we're going to tie all this up, but think about this parable, and which is found in the Bible, Matthew, in the book of Matthew, the parable of the wheat and the tares. And clear your mind of your preconceptions. Clear your mind of saying this only applies to the church. No. Just hold on a minute, because Joe's going to tie this all together and show you why this is a larger, the implications are much larger, and how it applies to that. So go ahead and finish or continue.
Okay, so we've established, and there's two parables in Matthew 13. The first one, I left out the first part of the parable of the sower, because that deals with reading and receiving the word of God. And we can deal with that tomorrow, because that's more complex than this, at least in explaining. This is very easy.
It's exquisitely simple, but only to the extent that when you rethink, you think you know something, and then when you rethink it, or when you're caused, when someone causes you to rethink what you think you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's right there. My goodness, okay. So, go on, because we're going to tie this together.
In the explanation of this parable, again, Jesus said, he that soweth a good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Right there, firmly establishes two separate types of people.
Mm-hmm.
Two separate lineages. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. And then this next part's important. 13:40, Matthew 13:40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, some people will read into this, the pre versus post tribulation rapture. The only thing I can say is that if it is important, and the orders that this is written, and the parable Jesus told, if he told it in the specific order he did for a reason, because then before they mention the righteous and what will happen to them, they say that first the tares will be gathered together and burned in a fire, and that all things that offend will be taken out of the world. Then the righteous shall shine forth. but not until the tares and the offenses are removed. So what does that mean as far as Christians and their future here on earth during the tribulation period? We understand that Christians do not endure the wrath of God, yet we also are told that all who believe in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. We're also told that, you know, pray that we are worthy to escape these things. Or in Isaiah, we are told to hide thyself for a bit until the indignation of the Lord passeth over.
Right.
And in the beginning, we talked about, in the beginning of Matthew 13, it talks about a certain type of people, that their hearts are waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes are closed. Because if at any time they should see with their eyes, or should hear with their ears, or should understand with their hearts, they should be converted. And Jesus said, I will heal them. But because they are a people of non-understanding, and a people who don't perceive, and hear not, and see not, because they set not their heart on the truth and not on God, these things are hidden from them. And this applies not only to the spiritual world and to our spiritual lives, in perceiving and understanding times and seasons and doctrines, but this applies to all in every issue and aspect of the world. Because do you think the people who are just spiritually blind, or who, the people who are spiritually blind, who spiritually can't see or hear, can discern things of the world, being so spiritually blind? I don't believe they can. And this is, you know, adds on to why we are in such perilous times today. Because people are, you know, the insanity has increased. People are losing it. They have no direction. They have no discernment. They have no foundation in the Lord. The Lord said in Isaiah, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. But instead of the Lord's precepts, men have heaped together their own traditions and followed the traditions of the deities and false gods that they worshipped, all the way back from the exile in Egypt, Exodus in Egypt, through Israel into the captivity of Babylon, back into Israel, and then destroyed again at the end of the in 70 AD by the Roman Empire. And if we remember, Israel was taken into captivity first because the Israelis did not keep the Sabbaths of the land every 7 years. They did not rest the land every 7 years. And for every Sabbath that they overlooked, a year was added into 70 years of exile during the first captivity of Babylon. But back to the parable.
But if I can interject something here,
sure.
Because a lot of people say, wait a minute, I mean, how many people really today know what a tare is? Okay. You think you know, but what's a tare? Well, all right, and why does it matter? Okay, Joe's talking about the parable of the wheat and the tares. And in this story, Jesus talked about a farmer. He planted a crop of wheat, and during the night, his enemy, hey, whoever might have been, a competitor maybe, Monsanto, you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
He
came along and sowed tares, planted tares, or weeds, along in amongst the wheat. Now, the thing about the tares, you can't tell them apart.
Right, and they say, you know, because the enemy has done this, shall we then cut it all down?
Right. And this is the real nugget here, okay? When we look at, and again, keep what we're seeing today in the political landscape of the United States of America and across the world, but in particular the political landscape of America, keep in mind this parable and understand that the tares, you can't tell. You know, you look out of the field of wheat, and you see out there. And everything looks normal, right? Except, wait a minute, we have had infiltration among the wheat. Somebody planted tares. There are plants out there that are not like us, but we can't tell who they are. So just imagine that. Oh, no. I mean, being a farmer and thinking about that. Oh, my gosh, tares. We got tares. Okay. Well, what do you do? If it grows a little more, it does become evident, obviously. It's very obvious that it is not wheat as it matures. However, you can't take it out right there because you would hurt the wheat.
Correct.
Okay, what a nightmare for a farmer, but we are all farmers. Well, we are amongst the crops, I should say, and in amongst us have been sown infiltrators.
And I guess it would be a good time to go through the rest of the parable of the sower.
Sure.
Because this parable deals with people getting the word of the Lord and the different ways that Satan will come and rob us of that understanding.
Yep.
In order to take our souls. And he does this through catching our attention away and leaving us able to be careless, doing things that we know he does. He accuses the brethren, and he's the master of deception. Yet he is the prince of the power of the air, and works under the parameters that God allows. But even Jesus said at the very end, if the days were not shortened, no flesh would be left alive, and the deception so great that even the elect could be deceived. But the parable of the sowers is as follows.
And deception is rampant, because even the very elect would be deceived. We can apply this somewhat prophylactically, I guess, to the parable of the wheat and the tares, because wouldn't it be easy? You're looking out over this field of what you believe is wheat, and there's been tares implanted among the wheat, amongst the wheat, within the wheat. How do you tell? You can't tell until a certain level of maturity. And once the wheat and the tares reach that level, then you can tell. However, until that time, you don't know. You don't know, but you know you've been infiltrated. Maybe you got a memo. Maybe the farmer next to you says, hey, guess what I did? Or maybe Monsanto calls you up on the phone saying, hey, farmer, guess what I did? You know, or maybe, you know, who knows? But you know you've been infiltrated, so keep that in the back of your mind. Go on.
The parable of the sower in 13:19 of Matthew says, when anyone hear the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then the wicked one... Then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart.
Mm.
That is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word with anon and receive joy. Now that word anon, I can't read my own writing. Temporary. It means temporary.
Right.
So, again, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and temporarily with joy receives it.
Mm.
Yet he does not root it in himself. He endureth for a little while, but when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also beareth fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. So here we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different ways people hear the word of the kingdom, and only one way that it actually is received properly. In every other case, it is taken away, stolen by the devil, either because we have not rooted ourselves in it wholeheartedly, or we receive it with temporary joy until trial or tribulation comes, then we forget about it, and go back to our own ways and understandings, and also the other person who receives it wrongly is that who receives it, and when they receive the world, the care of the world and the deceitfulness of their riches choke the world out of it. It does not fit with their lifestyle. They hear the word of the Lord, they understand it, but it's incompatible with the way they want it to be.
Very much.
And lastly, it is those who receive the word properly, who root it in themselves, understand it, and not only that, it bears fruit. And it says right here, some bear fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, some 1-fold.
But nonetheless, it bears fruit.
None of the other ways bears fruit.
Right.
Even those who keep the word and receive it with joy temporarily. But that is taken away because when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the Bible and the word or the belief, that person lets that drive their belief away because it is not rooted in there. And I guess the main message is that the importance in which we place our spiritual life and understanding and relationship with Jesus, if he is the center of our life, if he and his word are rooted inside of us, are one in the same, that's where we need to be. Otherwise, being careless, mindless, we will let Satan come and rob not only the word out of us, but the soul from us, because we lacked the discernment, understanding to humble ourselves and do the will of God. Cares of the world, cares of money, cares of what other people think.
There you go. Yeah.
Satan uses every tactic and way he can to intervene, especially in a person who is a new believer, to try to steal that belief out of him.
That's right. Immaturity. Think about that and how that's multiple there's multiple applications to the immaturity from spiritual, but from our own immaturity to the immaturity of the wheat and the tares as we walk and look among the wheat and the tares, or as we exist among that field. Go on.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all we're going to talk about as far as the parables. But again, the overall understanding and context of these. And folks, if you haven't, I know a lot of people have heard it and read here and there, once in a while, Matthew 13 and the parables. But please get a good understanding of it, especially the parable of the wheat and the tares. Because this is what describes the battle from the beginning to the end, and the results, and the players.
And the players, yes.
Who it is. And where do we, and ask yourself, where do we fit in this picture?
Let's see.
Because all earthly systems, economic, militarily, government systems, since Nimrod, every government that has been established opposed to God and his rulership by man or hybrid man has been in rebellion to God. I know this won't be a popular statement, and we can get into this another day, but what if I told you that the Constitution was a document that basically granted or was thought to grant sovereignty, not from other countries, but spiritual sovereignty from the oppression of the Lord.
Say that again? I mean, I'm not sure I understood that meaning.
What if the meaning of the Constitution or purpose of the Constitution was not to declare sovereignty against other nations as the U.S. sovereign nation?
Right.
But sovereignty against God's laws separate from God's laws and his judgment, kingdom, and affairs.
In other words, freedom, not freedom from oppression, but freedom from the moral and spiritual guidelines, the Ten Commandments and biblical scripture.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. And there's a lot of truth to that. We need to look at Tom Horn, his writings, when he, Zenith 2016, Apollyon Rising 2012, Zenith 2016 is really an expansion of Apollyon Rising 2012. But when you look at what's in there and looking at Washington, the research that Tom Horn has done and Chris Putnam and all of those, you can see, you know, you begin to ask yourself questions now. Perhaps was the United States set up to usher in the new Atlantis? Was it set up to usher in the Antichrist? Was it set up to, what was it, America, what was this established for? This beacon on a hill, this country of freedom, this country where ostensibly the oppression has been just sloughed off.
Yeah.
And, you know, now
we can look the quotes from George Washington, who said this in 1798. It is not my intention to doubt that the doctrine of the Illuminati and its principles of Jacobism had not spread to the United States. On the contrary, no one is more satisfied of this fact than I.
Well, Benjamin Disraeli, the first Prime Minister of England, in his work, Coningsby. Folks, I don't know if you've ever read that fantastic, interesting work, shall I say, not an easy read, not an afternoon read, but a quote from there. So, I'm reading this now, quote, Benjamin Disraeli. So, you see, my dear Coningsby, that the world is governed by very different personages from what is imagined by those who are not behind the scenes. Okay, when you take the application of the parable of the wheat and the tares, as Joe laid it out just moments ago, and you apply that to what's going on today, look, folks, you can see that we have been infiltrated. Now, is it because, and ask yourself this question as you look over the political landscape, the geopolitical events of today, ask yourself, is this because of apathy? Is this because of incompetence on the part of those people who are actually pushing the buttons and allowing the selection and election processes to continue? Or is this a process? Is this, you can question it this way. Is all that we see, is all that we are experiencing today, is there some sort of rational plan behind it? Or is this just a mixture of a bunch of idiot decisions and incompetence and, oh, I just, you know, can't believe our bad luck and, or something more nefarious? And I would argue that based on the history you're not taught, the history that has been revised, the geopolitics of today, that we are right now living in a time where the parable is, where Jesus talked about this time, in the end, this is what you're going to see. And it all comes down, really, to infiltration. And to those out there not having the spiritual or intellectual, and I'll add in intellectual maturity to understand what we're seeing. And the different levels of maturity they're extremely important to when you get to that level of maturity, not just for the identification of the wheat and tares, between the wheat and tares, but ourselves. And I'm not trying to add to change the meaning of this parable or add anything in, or no, but I'm looking at this from a slightly different position here. We've got to reach a level of maturity ourselves.
Yeah.
Don't we? I mean, whether it's intellectual or spiritual, because to accept that.
Because it says right in the parable that that Satan, the enemy, can deceive the word out of you, steal and rob the word out of you, because it is not properly rooted in you. And it is rooted in you through following the precepts of the Lord, not following sermons that pastors give, not listening to YouTube videos and people who speak on videos interpreting prophecy or Bibles the way they want to, but on the precepts of the Lord, as it says in Isaiah 29.
That's right. There you go.
Not of traditions of men, as the Catholic Church and the Pope will say, but on solely the Lord and His precepts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Correct?
Absolutely.
Right.
Bingo.
And
but more people have irrational fear, non-scripture. They fear about being poor. They fear about losing friends. They fear about they're afraid about their, what's this guy saying about me? Or what's this, website saying about me? Or,
right. And that's, sadly, as we live in the days where we have a great falling away, and, listening to David Wilkerson's, old sermons, as I like to do at least a few times a week. He made a great point that has been made on this show by other people, that the falling away, just like Lucifer was an angel in heaven who fell.
Yep.
He had a position to fall from. The falling away comes from those believers who had a belief in Jesus who fell from that belief.
Yeah. Falling away implies, suggests that the,
and regardless,
that you were in a position to fall from,
right? And regardless about the beginning and end state of that person in the world, they had fallen from their belief system in Jesus. And we have seen a majority of people leave the church, leave Christianity, because of those who give Christians a bad name. Those who believe and are so legalistic and have the religious spirit and backbite and fight and tear down each and every other person who doesn't believe the way they perceived it to be. People have created their own Jesus, just like it says in
Very
Acts.
Much. Yep.
And we have to understand that not only, I mean, the sheaves that are, outward look like sheaves, but inward are ravaging wolves. Those aren't the Satanists. Those aren't the globalists and the Illuminati members who do evil.
Well, then who are they?
They are the people who say that they are Christians, but inwardly devour and tear apart Christians through, the backbiting, the things that of human nature that destroy.
Right.
And does the Lord care about non-believers being deceitful towards other non-believers, deceiving them into believe or not to believe in something that's irrelevant? No. He cares about those people who are believers in the Lord, who at times look to men, as many do, for answers, for instructions, for guidance.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
men
yep,
are
yep.
the ravenous wolves, and will lead them in the wrong direction.
Well, and here's my take on this, and for what it's worth. I I've said this privately to a number of people, and folks, maybe you can relate to this, but in today's landscape of the sheep and wolves, okay, in today's landscape of Christians and non-Christians, I've said this, and I've written this privately, and I've said this privately to others, but I'm going to say this publicly to everyone. Here's my situation. Having been an investigator for 30 years, I've worked investigations where I've had to go to prisons and interview people, interview inmates. I've been to Attica. I've been to Rikers. I've had sat down with across from inmates, the metal tables where the chairs and tables are glued to the ground, where you can't take anything that you wouldn't want to eat, into this area, or otherwise get pushed into any open orifice of your body. Okay, in other words, you're sitting down across from an individual or individuals in as you go through doing these interviews, you're going into a venue that's a bad place. That you hear the door shut behind you. It gives you kind of a little chill. And then you sit down at the cold metal table and you sit across from an inmate in Attica or Rikers. You know what you're dealing with. You know who you're dealing with. You know this is not some, really, chances are you're not dealing with some pillar of society, somebody with a great moral and spiritual compass. Nope, you're dealing with somebody that's not really a good person. It's obvious they're not wearing a sign that says, I've done this and this, but they have a number. They've got a number. You can tell. In other words, there is no way you cannot tell that you're dealing with somebody that is, you know who you're dealing with. Okay. How's that? You know who you're dealing with. You know what you're dealing with going in. There's no question. Folks, I've said this privately, and I've written this privately. I would much rather have my old position or go back to conducting investigations and interviews. I'd much rather walk into a prison like Attica and sit down and interview that person across from me, knowing who that person is, knowing what that person is, knowing what where I'm at without question, than deal with the people who say, I'm a Christian. Let me help you. Come on. Come on. I'll help you. Pat you on the back. I got your back. I'm behind you. Suddenly, when the waters get rough and the going gets tough and there's rockiness, that pat on the back, you feel a sharp pain. You never see it coming, do you? Because that very self-professing Christian, perhaps, might be that person that will stab you in the back, but you'll never see it coming. Why? Well, it looked like a stalk of wheat, didn't it? It looked like a stalk of wheat right up to that moment of that maturity when you could tell the difference, but before, hey, thought it was wheat.
Yeah.
But now, that's not an indictment of anyone in particular. That's an indictment of everyone as it is applicable. You see, Joe, and ladies and gentlemen, here's the deal right now. The biggest threat is coming from within, in my view. The biggest threat are the people who are presenting themselves in the public arena as Christians, yet they're not, well, at least they're not acting like it in private. They're not acting like it in actuality, and they don't have your back. They're watching your back, but not for protection. You see,
the two commandments that Jesus said were most important were what? Worship thy God with all thy heart,
right,
mind, body, and soul, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And it does not distinguish whether the neighbor is a believer,
right,
or a Buddhist. But we are to love one another, right, as people, and we are to be Christ-like. Be ye holy is what Jesus said, because I am holy.
So the takeaway from this, and I really want to make sure that we understand this, is the parable of the wheat and the tares applies to the landscape of Christianity. Certainly it applies to
it's a brief rundown of, right, the history of the spiritual battle of the world.
Right. But it's more applicable today because the time in which this was meant or intended, based on Matthew, was for the end days, especially meaningful for the end of time, the end of the age, the end of the time period which we are.
Specifically important for us to understand being in the end times, because, right, we know that the end times are just the past reliving itself.
What got me when we were doing the preparation for this is, you know, we were talking last night with Stan Dale about the Antichrist, the identity of the Antichrist. You know, everyone expects, or many people expect, oh, it's going to be like a Hitler type of person, or it's going to be a bad person, and obviously bad person. Well, if that's the case, how does this man get adorned, and how does he adored and adorned?
He comes in peacefully.
Right, right. But see, that's the to me, this is the insidious part of this, where people will fall for a man figure and worship, you know, fall down and worship or you know, bend the knee to worship this Antichrist figure, believing they're doing God's work. And this is the formula that's being used by the Illuminati. This is the formula that's being used by the power behind the one world government, the current players today. And we are all going to be given this bill of goods. We are all going to believe, or those lacking the spiritual and intellectual discernment, that the man is on our side, when in fact, No, he might look like one of us, but he's the man of perdition. That was a good parable.
Yeah, all right, folks, we'll be right back with hour number two right after this break.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.